We're on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, right before the wide lines at the bottom, two lines up before that, Darash Rava. The first word in the line is Libi. And we're learning in Agadata, and Rava is going to darshan Shir HaShirim. So let's read the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim with its translation. My dichsiv, what's the deeper meaning of a pasuk in Shir HaShirim? Lecha dodi, come my beloved, netze hasadeh, let us go out into the field, nolino bakfarim, let us lodge or let us rest in the villages. Nashkima lakramim, will rise early to the vineyards near Eh, and let us see in Parcha Hagefen if the vine has flowered. Pitach Hasmadar, the grape blossom has opened. Hey Netsu Arimonim, the pomegranates are in bloom. Shom Etain Es Dodi Loch, there I will give my love to you. So Rava expounds this verse. Lecha dodi netzea sadeh, come my beloved, let us go out into the field. Amra Knesses Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of Shir HaShirim is a metaphor for the relationship between the bride, which is Knesses Yisrael, and the dod, the groom, HaKadosh Baruch. So now Knesses Yisrael speaks in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Almighty, and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Al Tidineni Ki Yoshve Krabim Krachim, excuse me. Don't judge me like the residents of Krachim. A Krach, if you remember from Masechet Megillah, is a large urban center. Don't judge me like the people in the largest cities. Sheyesh ben gezel varayos ushvua shav ushvua sheker. There are a lot of bad things going on in the marketplaces, in the big cities, in the urban centers, where there were all sorts of, you know, buyers and sellers coming in from outside to sell their wares, and there's theft going on, immorality, vain oaths and false oaths, but rather Netzea Sadeh Bo V'Ar'eich Talmidei Chachamim, let's go out to the fields, away from the cities, and I will show you the scholars Sha'oskim v'Torah mitoch hadchak. In other words, even though they're not in the big cities where you can make big bucks, you know, there's marketplaces and there's a lot of high finance going on, they find themselves in the more quiet settlements studying and dedicating themselves to Torah even at financial expense. Perhaps out in the fields, they're eking out a living from the ground. And yet, Oskim v'Torah mitoch hadchak. They're not the city slickers, you know, who are back and forth with business deals and so forth. So this is Knesses Yisrael pleading in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam for love, presenting her credentials, not like the nations of the world, but a definite dedication to God and to His mitzvahs, avoiding the corrupting influences which are associated with that kind of lifestyle that's so open in the urban centers, you know, financial interests and all sorts of other things that are going on there. Going on in the pasuk, Nolina Bakfarim, let us lodge in the villages. Al tikre, don't read it bekfarim ela bekofrim. As if it said, amongst the non-believers. And the question is, what is the drush of Ravi about the non-believers? Bo ver'ekod zaro shel Esav. I want to show you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the difference between me and my brother Esav and his descendants. Because amongst them are non-believers. Bo var'echa osam shishpatalem tova. I'll show you that despite the fact that you have bestowed upon them all sorts of benevolent good, and the Bnei Esav are wealthy and so forth, they build towers and cities, but nevertheless hem kafru b'cha. They denied you. So these are the deniers that come from Esav, who have received so much prosperity that you have bestowed upon them. Nashkima l'kramim, let us arise early in the vineyards. Elu bate knesios ubate midrashos. These are the houses of worship, the houses of study. And there are two reasons why the vineyards are used as this metaphor for the synagogues and the houses of study. One is because wine is always representative symbolically of Torah, right? Ein yayin el Torah. And secondly, because of the way the Jewish people are sitting in rows like a vineyard, row after row. Nira imparcha gefen. We go on in the pasuk. Let us see if the vine has flowered. Elu bale mikra. Those are the experts, you know, who win the Bible contest. Pitach hasmadar. The grape blossom has opened. Elu bale mishnah. Right, because the grapes produce wine, and wine is nichnas yain yotze sod. Wine is symbolic of secrets or deeper meanings of the Torah, and that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to reveal the deeper meaning of the Bible, of the written Torah. Hey netzu harimonim, the pomegranates are in blossom. Elu bale gemara. These are the students of Gemara. Gemara is an even deeper interpretation of the Torah on the most profound level. Now, there are three levels here. There's Bale Mikra, Bale Mishnah, and Bale Gemara. So we said that the first level is Parcha Gefen. And Parcha means to flower. So you have the simple understanding of the Mikra, and then you have the Bale Mikra. They have the whole breath of the scriptures, and then you get to a more profound level of the grape blossom has opened, until finally you get to the blooming of the pomegranates. Now what's left out here in this pasuk are the secrets of the Torah, what we call the mystical dimension of Torah study. Like Maisa Breishis, Maisa Merkava. That we said was indicated in the Agadah that we studied yesterday about the four levels of the four Nevi'im that spoke about the endless, infinite nature of the Torah. And those four reflected, if you remember, Pshat, Drush, and then Maisa Breishis and Maisa Merkava. But here in the Gemara we have, from the perspective of Pshat, we have three different levels of the scope and the understanding of Pshat. We have Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. The Rambam, in fact, writes that a person should dedicate a day to three disciplines. One third of his day he should dedicate to Mikra, one third to Mishnah, and the last third to Gemara. Then the Rambam says that's only at the beginning of his learning. When he's more advanced, he can dedicate full time to the study of Gemara. Now we go on in the Pasuk. Shom etain es dodi lach. There I will give my love to you. And what's the meaning of that, says Rava? Ar echa kvodi vigodli shevach bonai ubinosai. Which means, I will show you my glory and my greatness, the praise of my sons and my daughters. I hope I'm not misleading you, that this last part of the Pasuk is the response of the Dod. And if that be the case, then the speaker here might be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not sure. But if we assume it's the same speaker and it's Knesset Yisrael that's still speaking, then it means that it's kind of like a sum of everything that was presented, all the credentials that we spoke about before, and finally, I will show you the glory, my greatness, and praise of my sons and my daughters. Now, the very next pasuk, let me just see if I have it here. Okay, I don't have the time for a Tanakh here, but in the very next pasuk, it says the violets emit a fragrance. Do we have that here in the Gemara? I don't see that here. Just one second. No, I'm not finding it right now. Omar Rav Hamnuna, my dechsiv. And now we're darshaning a pasuk in Malachim. Vaydaber shloshes alofim mashal. And this is a reference to Shlomo HaMelech. And he speaks 3,000 metaphors. Vayhi shiro, in his song, was Chamisha va'olef, which is 1,500. Melamed sha'omar shlosha, sha'omar Shlomo, al kol dover v'dover shal Torah, shloshes alofim mashal. And mashal is a reference to ta'amim. So on every section of the Torah, Shlomo HaMelech, with his great wisdom, offered 3,000 reasons or explanations. The al kol davar v'davar shel sofrim chamisha v'elef ta'amim. And any rabbinic institution or enactment, he offered 1,500 explanations. Now, why does it say shiro? The word shir, which means song, why is that a reference, an allusion to Dvarav Shel Sofrim? He writes here in the name of the Rashash, Nikru Shir, Lefisha Ein Lishonos Belo Shira Vizimra. Maybe means Ein Lishanos Belo Shira Vizimra. Shlomo HaMelech Himtzi Besichlo Ubada Milibo Misholim Lahachnis Belev Yireh Yiras Hashem. V'amisholim ha'hem enom nimtzoyim etzlenu, ki rabim misfarav nevdu meitanu, begoluseinu, ubo liyad ovdei kochavim, umihem hetiku v'korum al shmam, v'ulam gonav hu ita, gam osa shirim v'mispar chamisha v'elef. Oh, I said it was 1,500. It's actually 1,005. V'af hema ena itanu ki nevdu. So this is a comment of the Metzudas David, one of the great commentaries on Tanakh, and he says that we don't have access to all these books that were authored by Shlomo, and somehow the Goyim got a hold of them. Darash Rava, Maidich Siv, Posi and Koheles, the Yoser Shahaya Koheles Chacham. It says that besides being wise, Od Lime Das Es Ha'am, Koheles also taught knowledge to the people, Izein V'chiker Tikei Misholem Harbe. He listened, he sought out, and he arranged many proverbs. He says, Shenosaf al Chachmoso HaRabo, Shebesefer Koheles, Od Limei Das Es Ha'om. So this means that besides, above and beyond Sefer Koheles, which is a great book of Chochmah, he taught the people way beyond that. I see there's a note here, let me just see. No. Alright. Limei Das Es Ha'am, the Agmere, he taught them b'simone ta'amim. He writes here, kova misores b'simonim l'tevos hamikra ulelimud hamishnah. And in the footnote he writes, yesh lasos tziyunim v'simonim la'torah. I think what he's referring to is mnemonic devices, what we call different simonim that would help us remember the transmission of the Torah. And these simonim were not only for the words of the Torah itself, but also for Mishnah. The Asbara b'may didomilei. And he also taught how to make analogies from one to another. Izein v'chiker tikei misholem harbe omar ula omar ablozer v'izein is miloshen oznayim, which means ears. Shebetchila haisa Torah doma l'kfifa shein lo oznayim. Before Shlomo came along, the Torah was like a basket or a pot that has no handles to it. And therefore, if you're holding on to this pot, you know, if it's too hot, you might drop it. So it was very precarious. And he put handles on the sides of this basket, and now it wouldn't fall. And now he has a commentary here. He says, probably based on Rashi, he says, before the takonos of Shlomo Melech, Klal Yisrael were vulnerable, so to speak, to violate certain averos. But Shlomo Melech came and he established Erevin, Netilas Yadayim, also Shnius La'Rayos, so that there are only certain incestual relations that are prohibited in the Bible, but the Rabbanan, under the tutelage of Shlomo, he took the initiative, expanded the categories of arayos, of forbidden relations. So this is called aznayim l'Torah. This is called handles for the Torah. To allow Klal Yisrael to hold on to these handles, to be careful about these mitzvahs, and to stay far away from sin. Now the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, we're back to Shir Hashirim. It says, Kvutzosav taltalim, shchoros ke'orev. And the locks, I would say, let's see, the locks are wavy. Omer av chizda, omer av ukva, malami sheyesh lidro shal kol kotz v'kotz, tilei tilim shal halachos. So we could derive many, many halachos from even a single point of kol kotz v'kotz. Right, that let's say, for example, you have a yud, and there's a little piece that comes up on the top of the yud that it, you know, extends from the yud, and you could learn laws upon laws even from the kotzo shel yud. There's a famous agadah in Menachos that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to see what's going to be in the future with the Torah. Hashem takes him into a shir, and he's listening to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is expounding the Torah, and Moshe turns to the Rebbe and says, you have such a great person, what do you need me for? Why not give the Torah through him? And then all of a sudden, Rabbi Akiva was asked by one of his students, and how do you know such a thing? He says, halacha l'Moshe v'Sinai. And that's what calmed down Moshe Rabbeinu. But what was amazing about Rabbi Akiva's, you know, his exposition of the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu overheard, what he was doresh kol tili tilin shebet Torah. He was deriving halachas from different kinds of letters and forms of letters, strokes, and from the crowns on top of the letters, the points on the top of the letters. That was Rabbi Akiva. Shchoros ke'ore, black as a raven. B'miyata motz'on. And it's apparently, this is an answer to the question, who has the ability to study Torah and achieve such a level that he could derive halachas from kol kotz v'kotz? And the answer is, shchoros ke'orev. He's black like a raven. And the word shchoros also has within it the word shachris, which means in the morning. And ka'orev also has the word arvis, the evening. So who is able to reach this unbelievable level of Torah where you could derive so many halachas? So here we're on Chof Beis Amin Aleph. It's shamashkim umariv aleh. Mishamashkim umariv aleh. Right, he wakes up early, and he goes to sleep late, and he's busy day and night in the study of Torah. The Beis HaMedrash. So imagine he leaves early in the morning, and he comes late at night. When does he see his family? Rava Omar, what is the deeper meaning of Shchoros Ke'orev? What's the comparison to a raven? B'misha machshir ponav aleim ka'orev. I guess if he doesn't eat enough, then his face turns a darker complexion like an orev. That's the opinion of Rava. But Rava Amar, you want to know who is going to achieve greatness in Torah? It's b'misha mesim atzmach zori al ponav al b'nei beso ka'orev. So I'm not sure, but I think this is like an insult to the raven. I have to ask Edgar Allan Poe about that. But it says about the raven, this is a pasuk in Tillim that I'm quoting, it's not in the Gemara, but it says, Nosein lebeim alachma livnei orev asher yikra'u. And I guess that implies that other animals, when you put food in front of them, they share it with their family members. The orev, on the other hand, he says, is cruel on his own children and doesn't supply enough food for his offspring. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazmin lahem yitushim v'nichnasim tofim v'nizonim mehem. But Hashem saves the baby ravens and, you know, sends whatever food they need into their mouth, because the, you know, the raven himself is not so keen on supplying food for his offspring. And here in the Nimshal, who is going to achieve great things in Torah? It's a person, Misha Mesim Atzmo Achzori Al Bonav Al Bnei Beso Ke'orev. He's also cruel in a sense, because he to some extent he forsakes his family members, his children, and he goes out to the Beis Medrash early in the morning, comes back late at night. So let me read to you a note here that summarizes this. He says ravens are typified as cruel to their young because, unlike other birds, the raven does not feed its young. The fledglings cry out to God, who provides their sustenance directly by causing insects to fly into their mouths. The verse teaches that only one who divests himself totally from all worldly pursuits for the sake of studying Torah, he relies on providence, on divine providence, for the support of his family. Only such a person is capable of reaching the loftiest heights in Torah literature and scholarship, where he's capable of plumbing the depths and deriving multitudes of laws from each letter or each point of the letters of the Torah. And the Gemara embellishes this, ki ha derav Adu bar Masna v'ka'azil lebei Rav. So Rav Adu was studying in the house of Rav. Amar lei de Beis. So his wife asked him, Yinuka didach my evid lehu, your little children, what should I do for them? You know, you're leaving, you're going to study Torah. Amalah, Misha Mishlimo Kurmi Biagma. Are there no more wild vegetables in the marsh? In other words, there's something out there, a vegetable that you can find in the marsh. Now the Gemara offers a different drasha. Umeshalem lesonov alponov lehavido. This is a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Zion. He repays those that hate him to his face and destroys them. So the pasuk reads Umeshalem lesonov alponov lehavido lo yaacher lesono. El Panav Yishalim Lo. He repays those that hate him to his face to destroy him, and will not delay to him that hates him. To his face he repays them. So El Panav means to his face, and it's referring to the sinner. So Mishalim El Panav. In other words, he will, you know, exact punishment on those who hate him. Omra Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi il moli mikra kosvi efshala omra. That's always an introduction to some like revolutionary idea. Kaviyachol ke adam shenose masui al ponov umevakesh lashlicho mimenu. It's like a person who's carrying a burden and he's just dying to just cast it off. He's looking for it. It's too heavy for him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish the Rishayim as soon as he can, because Kaviyachol God can't tolerate, you know, not punishing, you know, the evildoers. And instead, God is going to bestow rewards on the evildoers for the little good that they did in this world, so that in the next world, God can completely destroy them. Lo ya'acher l'sono, omarav ila, Rabbi ila, dafka l'sonov, hu delo ya'acher l'shalim lehem, avol ya'acher l'tzadikim gemurim. In other words, God is very quick to bestow goodness on the evildoers, paradoxically, but when it comes to tzadikim, he doesn't want to give them their reward in this world. He wants to save their reward for the next. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi might deceive Posig in Dvorim Vishamartas HaMitzvah Vesachukim Vesamishpotim Asharanochi Mitzavcha Hayom La Sosom Vololo Mochar, but rather La Sosom Hayom La Sosom Mochar Lekabel Schara. So when the Posig says that those who observe the mitzvah which I gave to you today, so what's the emphasis here? Hayom lasosom. So Hayom is a reference to Olam Hazeh, to this world, and that's the time of lasosom. V'lov l'machar. But when it comes to the schar, one second. When it comes to the schar, it's l'machar. It's not Hayom. Hayom means this world. We're obligated and dedicated to fulfill the will of God. What's L'machar, which is implicit in this pasuk? Lo L'machar La'sosam. In other words, there's no mitzvah that you could do after you die. And Hayom La'sosam L'machar L'kabel Schar. Today, you will fulfill the mitzvahs, but the bulk of the reward will be left for the next world. And that's the world of Kabbalah Schar. Omar Rav Chagai, V'itemer Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Mai Dechsiv, what does the Pasuk mean? Erech Apayim, and the Lashon Apayim is in the plural. What is the meaning of the plural word apayim? My two angers, so to speak. Erech af mi boile, it should have said af in the singular. Ella, from the fact that it says apayim, we're going to derive that it's a lashon ponim, shemarech ponov, erech apayim letzadikim, the Erech HaPayim L'Rishoyim. So what is this double Erech HaPayim? Erech HaPayim means he's slow. He's slow in showing a jubilant face to the righteous, meaning he delays their reward until the world to come, and he is slow in showing an angry face to the wicked and delays their punishment until the world to come. He writes in the note here that these characteristics stem from God's mercy. God is slow to remunerate the righteous so that they may receive their reward in the world to come, which is the infinite reward. He delays the punishment of the wicked until the world to come so that they have an opportunity to repent. Oh, that's a Chiddush Tosfos. Okay, that ends the Agadita. Alright, it took us a day and a half, but now we get back to Masechet Eruvin. So the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a limit, a cap, to the institution of Pasi Biros that allows and permits tiltal within the area that is enclosed by the pasim on the four sides. And what is that limitation? It's ad up to Beis HaSayim. In other words, the largest area that could be permitted by the pasim is an area of Beis HaSayim. And Beis HaSayim means an area where you can plant tvua in the shear of Sasayim, of two saws. He writes in the note here that the shetach, such an area, is mea ama al chamishim ama. It's 100 ama on 50, shehu 5,000 amos mirubos, 5,000 square amos. And if you have an area that's beyond that size, then you cannot permit through Pase Biros tiltal if it's beyond Beis HaSayim, if it's more than 5,000 square amos of an area. Now, on the note here, he quotes the Ran to try to explain Rabbi Yehuda, but I just want to ask you if you can, because you gentlemen are my Google guys, if you could Google for me, what is the average area of a golf course? Now, I don't know if there is such a thing. Maybe, I don't know if there are standards for what the, you know, I suppose there are different kinds of golf courses, but maybe they can give you like a mean, you know, some average area of a golf course. Again, you're going to get it probably in feet or in yards, I don't know. We'll have to see if we can translate it into amos, because I'm curious to know. I don't know, I just have this feeling that a golf course is a karpov, is a base of sign. Yeah.
Here it says the modern 18-hole golf course takes up 150 acres of land.
Okay, how do we translate that?
It says the average is about 74 acres.
Okay, so
maintained turf. So notice it. I guess it's the difference between the actual green part and the whole thing, including the woods and all that kind of stuff, the lakes.
And how much is
golfer,
right? How much is 74 acres? I'm just curious. Can we turn that into square feet or anything like that?
Yeah, wait a minute. I have a converter.
Okay, good. Then we have to convert it to amos, you know. Okay. I just out of curiosity, I'm wondering, you know. I'm always looking for a modern example of something in the Gemara. So I was wondering if a golf course... Okay, so let me just, as you're doing that, I just want to tell you the logic of Rabbi Yehuda is what's called a Gzera Agav Karpaf. In other words, Chazal made an Isur that although Rosh Hashayochid on a Torah level could be as wide of an area as you want, it could be endless, but if it's a Karpaf, even though it's surrounded by Mechitzos, you're not allowed to carry there. That's already too similar to a Rosh Hashanah. And okay, just give me one more second. So if we would allow carrying within the Pase Biros that are the same size as Beis HaSayim, then you might come to carry in a Karpaf, which the Rabbanon prohibited. So a Karpaf is sort of like a Carmel's. Yeah, what do you got?
So it says 74 acres, which is the average size of the green, is the equivalent of about 300,000 square meters.
300,000 square meters. Oh, now.
What do you want to get it down to?
Yeah, it sounds like it's much, much larger than this area. Because I wanted to get down to 5,000 amos. Now, an amma is roughly a foot and a half, let's say.
So that's half a square meter, half a meter.
Half a meter. So you talk about 2,500 square meters. And now you talk about 300,000 square meters. So it's a much, much larger area. Okay. You can fit in a whole bunch of Karpovs into, you know, maybe the green would be equal to 5,000 base Sasayans, you know, or something. Well, 5 base Sasayans. Yeah, maybe if we multiply it by 5. No. Iboilahu. Okay, now we have a suffix. Bar upasim kamar odilma bar velo pasim kamar. In other words, when you calculate this area of a base asayim, do you also include the area where the cow is standing? Right. So you have the area that is set off by the pasim, correct? And then you have, so I'll read this to you. He says, "Bar upasim kamar, she'ein pasi biros matirin ella kasher kol ha'shetach shebeinam kolel ha'bar v'amokom shebeino la'pasim magia lebeis asayim b'levad v'lo yose." Right. So you remember you have the bar, which is the well itself, and you have the Beis Asayim. I'm sorry, and you have the Bein HaPasim. Oh, I see. Now, he wants to know where the area of the bar, right? As we said, and Don, you were making a big deal about this, and rightfully so, that the bar could be very, very large. It doesn't have to be a small little well. Right? We said it had to have the minimum shear of 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim, but it could be a massive area. And should we... Let me explain the second side of the Gemara. Bar v'lo pasim kamar. Bar v'lo pasim would mean that we have to take the shetach, the area of the bar, let's say, just 1 second, and from the bar, we're going to calculate the bein apasim. Just give me a second. I'm sorry. So the ein pasi biros matirin elim shetach habor magia ad lekidei beis sasayim velo yoser shaaf im beis sasayim bibor levado mutol etaltil bein apasim afilu shashetach shebeinem kulo. So the second side in the Gemara, which is called Bar Velopasim, that seems to be Lakula. That's the more lenient of the two. And what that means is that if you have Sasayim in the bar itself, So it's a very large bar, which is 5,000 amos square, and if so, that's the size of the bar, and now you have from the bar, you have an area of Bein HaPasim. Right, which is at least a minimum of Rosh HaVerubo Shel HaShar, Shel HaPara, but it could be much, much wider than that. And you could still be Matir with Bein HaPasim. Even though if you add bar plus the area outside the bar, which is Bein HaPasim, you will end up with more than Beis Asayim. Nevertheless, since the bar itself is up to, but not beyond Beis Asayim, then you can have the pasim. That's according to the second shot. And the first possibility is baru pasim ka'amar. In other words, now to calculate the maximum, right, the cap of sasayim, we're going to include not only the bar, but also the area outside the bar, between the edges of the bar on all sides, and the pasim. And we must require that after we add A plus B, we still have no more than a base sasayim. And that's l'chumra. Okay. Now, in the footnote, he says, Bagmara ein mevuar litzad ze basofek. Right? I guess according to the Kula, Ad kama efshar shiyeh b'shetach shemichutz lebar. In other words, if we're not calculating into the equation, we're not adding the shetach outside the bar, according to the second tzad, then is there any limit to the size of that shetach outside of the bar? So he says we're going to see from Rav Shimon ben Elazar, which we haven't gotten up to yet, that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, hapasim atirim ad sasayim, umevur sham she gam shashir hu bebar atzma velo bapasim, shashir michutz lebar hu shtei amos bilvad. Okay, that's one opinion. And now he has opinion that af b'shetach shemichutz lebar ashiru ad sasayim. So in other words, there's one opinion that would allow you not only the sasayim of the bar, but another additional sasayim outside the bar. So you can have 5,000 square amos of a bar, and then you have another 5,000 square amos around the bar, and then you're going to set up your pasim, in effect, 10,000 amos square, and surround that area with the pasim. However, he has another opinion that says that the area outside the bar, if the bar is sasayim, can only go up to 2 amos, which is the size of the para that goes into Bein HaPasim if he minimizes that area. So I don't know, that has to be studied as a separate challenge. Alright. Now he says the following, Hatam Shaladas Rabbi Yehuda Ein Pasi Biros Matirim Elad Shetach Shal Basayim Uvnesha Im Yatiru Shetach Godol Yoser Yesh Lachsho Shema Yavo Odom Lahatir Es Hatiltul Gam Bekarpaf Godol Mibes Sasayim. Okay. Now, Yesh Listapik. What is the study asofik here? Odom Nosein Enov Biboro. A person will look at the bar itself. Heter habaru asui lilmod lahatir bekarpav. In other words, if he's going to make this mistake based on an analogy between the bar, which you're allowed to carry in, and extrapolate from that for a karpav, is then ain svara ligzar shelo yoil pase bros elakashar bar atzmo godol mishir base sasayim shem yil mikach lahater gam v'karak papashir zeh v'ilu kashar bar atzmo eno yoser misasayim af shashetach bein apasim v'tzirif abar godol mishir zein los is ain lachshav lo gazrinon Dilma osi litiltule yosemi base sasayim bekarpaf di alma. So in other words, he's saying that we don't have to worry about a mistake of Karpav, if the Shetach beyond the bar is more than Beis Asayim, because Adam no sein enov bibar. He's focused on the bar, and that's what he sees in front of him. O Dilma Adam no sein enov bimechitzasa. He's looking at the area that's surrounded by the mechitzas, and therefore the gazrinon Dilma asi lechlufe mi Beis Asayim bekarpa. No, it's if the area within the mechitzos, which goes way beyond the bar, is more than a Beis Asayim, he's going to mistakenly think that the Chazal allow him to carry even in such a large area, which is more than a Karpav, which is a Beis Asayim. Toshma. So let's bring a raya to this suffix from a Braisa. Kama heim Mikoravim. What is the area between the pasim and the bar? You know, it's how close can he get with his pasim to the bar? And the answer is Kidei Rosha Veruba Shel Para. So we'll give him that area of a para. The Kamei Meruchakim. What's the maximum area that's going to be enclosed by these pasim, and it means that the pasim will be very far away from the bar. Afilu kar, even the shear of what's called a base kar, afilu karayim. So kar is makom zriya shel kar tvua kur hu shloshim sa'im. Is 30 sa'in, and Shiro, who's 75,000 amah merubos, 75,000 square amos, that's called a kar. Vafilu karayim, and even twice that amount, that would be 150,000 square amos. And that's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beis Asayim Mutar, Yesemi Beis Asayim Asur. So that the area outside the bar, between the Pasim and the bar, maxes out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, at Beis Asayim. So, one second, does that answer our original question? Yeah. Oh. I think this means l'chumra. Let's see. Omru lo, so the Chacham say to Rav Yehuda, Iyata mode bidir. Right, deer is a place where the animals graze in the field. V'sahar. That's where the animals graze in the city. Umukta, which is a some sort of a courtyard or a backyard behind his house. Mechotzer is the courtyard in front of his house. Shafilu base chameshes korim ubeis asara korim shemuter. In these four cases, you're allowed to carry even if it's a very, very large area. So if you're in agreement that you could be lenient and allow carrying in such a massive area that's much greater than a Beis Asayim, so why aren't you matir here in the case of Bein HaPasim, of Pasi Biros? Omalehem, Rav Yehuda says, don't derive any conclusions from Dir, Sar, Muktz, and Chotzer for this case. Shezo Mechitza B'Elu Pasim. That in all your cases that you gave us of these outside parks and yards and so forth, there are Mechitzos, and therefore we can allow them allowed tilta because of the mechitzas, but in our case of tilta around the bar, that's only pasit. We really don't have full-fledged mechitzos, and therefore we institute a gzera that he might come to be mater karpaf if you allow such a large area to be permitted where there's no mechitzos. All you have is pasa. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, bar besasayim abesasayim, the bar is an area of a besasayim square and mutter, and you're allowed to carry between the pasim, but not if it's larger than that area. V'lo omru laharchik el kidei rosha v'ruba shel para. Now, I'm just trying to figure out, are we deriving our conclusion from, I mean, the whole suffix that we had was according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? He says, ad beis sasayin. So I would like to assume, until I know otherwise, that this brisa that he's quoting is in order to prove what Rabbi Yehuda would say. And in fact, this brisa starts with Rabbi Yehuda. That basis, ad basis asayim, of yes basis asayim also. I mean, at this point, I don't think we're interested in Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So what do we see? That the shear of basis asayim is on the bar itself, because outside the basis asayim, Rabbi Yehuda says, just one second, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, basis asayim mutter, yes, and basis asayim osur. What do you see from that? That the shear of beis asayim is on the bar. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about the size of the bar? Kama heimeru chokim. I see. Because Rabbi Yehuda is defining the area that's outside the bar. Because the Braisa opens up by saying, Kamehemeru Chokim. Right? In other words, Kamehemeru Chokim Hapasimea Bar. I Kamehitan Larchika Mimenu. So you can be Marchik from the bar to the pasim, a basis asayim. That's what it says in Rabbi Yehuda. So obviously, Rabbi Yehuda's basis asayim is the size of the bar, because outside the bar he's got a basis asayim. Hamidika Omar. Oh no! Now the Gemara is quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Midika Omar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar bar velo pasim. Michlal de Rabbi Yehuda, bar upasim ka'omar.